This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Plus CBD by CV Sciences. As you know, I'm a big proponent of CBD oil to tonify the endocannabinoid system. I've found that it helps people relax and can support restful sleep, a real breakthrough in herbal products. The CBD brand I take personally and recommend to my patients is Plus CBD from CV Sciences. And now I'm excited about a new product from Plus CBD, Plus CBD Maximum Strength Soft Gels. They provide higher levels of CBD for the greatest impact on everyday health. And with pre-measured servings and no hemp flavor, Plus CBD Maximum Strength Soft Gels are a no-mess, no-fuss way to take advantage of CBD's myriad of benefits. To learn more and to order, visit pluscbdoil.com and use coupon code HOFFMAN for 20% off. That's pluscbdoil.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly program that's a roundup of all the health news that's relevant to you. We call that Intelligent Medicine, the best of high tech and the best of natural therapies. We put those together for you each weekend, and you can participate. You can come directly into the doctor's office. I am, after all, a trained MD. By calling 877-726-8255. That's our number, 877-726-TALK. And this hour and next, we've got lots of stories. It's been a tumultuous week, and the coronavirus pandemic continues to rage, but the vaccines are on their way. And if you've got questions, 877-726-8255, should you take the vaccine? Is it safe? What's the deal? You can query me during the program. One of the interesting stories that came out this week has to do with a big question about COVID, which is, can you catch it again? And there have been a few isolated cases of people who caught it and then seemingly re-caught it, or at the very least they tested negative and then they again tested positive. That may be an artifact of the testing, because sometimes the testing reveals a false negative and then you test positive, but that's not necessarily indicative of an infection. It may be an indication, because the tests are very sensitive, that there's still a little bit of viral RNA that's hanging around in your nostrils. And even though you're not sick with an infection, you may be simply harboring it. The question is, does your immunity wane after a certain period of time? And there's a big study in the New England Journal of Medicine that speaks precisely to that issue. And it's basically good news. Because what they did is they looked at antibodies, which are present after an infection, and they looked to see in people who'd had COVID-19 whether those antibodies waned. And it turns out that the protection was relatively long-lasting. Well, we only have experience with COVID-19 roughly a year or less. And so the vast majority of people who've had it still maintain antibodies months and months later. And what they say here, and I'm quoting, what's great about this study is that it's nearly a tenfold reduction in risk if you've recovered from COVID-19 and have antibodies. So the unanswered question, of course, is how long this immunity lasts. And that's something that we don't know. But it's predicted from this study that antibody protection could last a year to a year and a half, or perhaps even longer, perhaps for a lifetime. We simply don't know. What about the immunity that's conferred by the vaccines? Well, the antibody levels following immunization with the Pfizer vaccine or the Moderna vaccine are actually higher on average than those of people who've had a natural infection, which is good, because one worries that maybe the vaccine gives you incomplete immunity. Maybe it's better to have COVID-19. And if you're fortunate enough to recover completely, then you'll have a better natural immunity. Well, it turns out, according to the study, that you get a pretty comparable or maybe slightly better immunity from the vaccines. The newer AstraZeneca vaccine, which is being rolled out in UK and in Europe, it showed slightly lower antibody levels compared with natural immunity. So it remains to be seen if it is less effective than the other vaccines. It has advantages. It doesn't require as much storage under unusual ultra-cold temperatures. One of the new vaccines that's being developed, I think it's the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, only requires one shot. And there's a lot of problems with the vaccine rollout. This might be expected because it was like, let's get the vaccine, let's get the vaccine. Okay, we have the vaccine. It's kind of like the dog that chased the car and now it caught the car. What's it going to do with the car? Well, now we have vaccines, but the distribution is all messed up. And there's all kinds of loopholes that people are trying to pull to get a hold of the vaccine. There's controversy of who should get it. And are there racial preferences? And is it reasonable to withhold the vaccine from the elderly vulnerable while we vaccinate healthcare workers? And wouldn't it make sense to also give priority to the spouses of healthcare workers who are highly vulnerable? Some people have reported who work in the hospitals that they've put up temporary trailers in their backyards so that they can sleep in quarantine so that they're not going to infect their families. There is a lot of risk to healthcare workers, but by and large, they're relatively young as opposed to older individuals. And there's a shortage of vaccines, especially for the second time around. So what they're saying is, let's get more vaccines out, and the vaccines that we were going to save for the people to get their second shot, we're going to use them all up to give people their first shot, because at least it'll give them some measure of immunity, maybe not the 90-95% that the vaccine promises, maybe 50% immunity. That's better than nothing. And then we'll worry about it when people queue up for their second shots. Hopefully the vaccine manufacturers will catch up. There's also some erroneous information that's being promulgated by the New York Times. The editor of the British Medical Journal has asked the New York Times to correct an article that says that UK guidelines allow two COVID-19 vaccines to be mixed. In other words, you get one and then there's a shortage of another. So you just like better get something than nothing. That's essentially what the Times article said. Mix and match. Well, the British Medical Journal pushed back and said that New York Times headline claiming UK guidelines say such substitutions may happen was seriously misleading. They may happen, but only by accident. It's not intentional. There would be extremely rare occasions where the same vaccine is unavailable or it's unknown which shot the patient received. And then they say it's better to give a second dose of another vaccine than nothing at all. But that's not the advisable way to do it, because the vaccines are designed to be used in conjunction with one another, the two-phase vaccines. So they pushed back against the Times there. It's also emerged that people who get the shot can get COVID-19, but that happens when they're exposed to COVID within a few days of getting the shot. So it's not a repudiation of the vaccine. It suggests that it takes a little while for the vaccine benefits to take. And especially if you only had one shot, you still may be susceptible to COVID-19. You may have a milder case, but that's a reminder that you can't abandon caution if you've gotten the vaccine, because it may take a while, a couple of weeks, for the immune system to recognize the vaccine and mount an effective response against the coronavirus. So all those stories in the news, lots of excitement around the Capitol this week, but that is amidst an unprecedented healthcare crisis that temporarily took a back seat to what's happening in our nation's capital. 877-726-8255 is our number. We invite you to call. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, not just another powder in a capsule. With hundreds of probiotic products to choose from, what makes health experts worldwide consider Dr. O'Hara's probiotics superior? Dr. O'Hara's crowning distinction is the 500-plus postbiotic metabolites produced during its 3-year fermentation process. Why are postbiotics so important? Postbiotics are vital for sustained digestive balance and overall immune health. Postbiotics are fundamental for hormonal balance, weight management, skin care, and brain health. Postbiotics are the Dr. O'Hara advantage that is essential to our health and wellness. Encapsulated in a vegetarian soft gel, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics is a live paste of 12 strains of probiotic bacteria and nourishing prebiotics from whole fruits and vegetables. Join the millions of people worldwide who know the power of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Go to www.essentialformulas.com today to find a retailer near you or search online.
Naturally occurring black pigments in vegetables, spices, and seeds have been found to have powerful anti-inflammatory effects. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I'm excited about what I think may be the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new, all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. Black for Health supports your liver, skin, cholesterol, blood pressure, and weight management, circulation, and immunity. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information, order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's myfuturefarm.com. Farm, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. 877-726-8255 is our number. And Kathy in Connecticut's taking advantage of our online advice. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. What's your question?
Yes, I'm 77, and I'm recovering from shingles. So I understand that you're immune for a year, and then you need to take your shots, your vaccination. So my question to you is, would it be a good idea to have vitamin drips before I get vaccinated, and how many, and after I get vaccinated, and how many, and when do I start counting the immune, when I got the shingles or when I'm recovered from the shingles, the year of...
Yeah, you said there's no rocket science answer to this. And in fact, this is kind of an interesting situation because you already got the shingles, right? You had it.
Okay. I got it, all
so, right. So the idea is, you know, will the vaccine confer protection against a recurrence of shingles? I mean, usually shingles is a one-off, but occasionally it can come back. And especially if you're older, you have a suppressed immune system, you can have multiple episodes of shingles. So the vaccine has been demonstrated to prevent shingles from occurring in the first place. That's pretty clear. It's a two-shot vaccine. It's called the Shingrix vaccine. It's superior to the previous vaccine, which it's superseded. And it works. It's pretty effective. Not 100% effective, but it's pretty effective against the shingles getting it in the first place. The question is it worth taking after, it's kind of like shutting the barn door after the horse got out, you know, to prevent a recurrence? And the answer is maybe. The studies on that are, you know, a little lukewarm. They're not really unequivocal about the protection that you get from taking the vaccine after having the shingles. There is evidence that nutritional deficiencies can compromise the effectiveness of vaccines. And that's actually one of the reasons why I suggest that if people are going to be taking the coronavirus vaccine, that they stock up on their zinc and their vitamin D and maybe take some things that support the immune system. Because there's no question that nutritional deficiency, in classic vaccine research makes vaccines work less well. Will intravenous vitamins make a difference? The answer is it wouldn't hurt, but it's not clear that you can't get some of the same benefits by taking a good program of oral supplements to prepare your immune system to respond well to the vaccine. So I'm not going to give you, like, you know, take 22 intravenous vitamin C's 2 weeks before, 2 months before, and then, you know, another 6 weeks afterwards. There's no precise formula for how that's going to help. It wouldn't hurt, but is it absolutely necessary? Is it de rigueur for people who can't afford these treatments? They're not covered by insurance, or can't get to a place where they can get intravenous vitamin C with multivitamins. I don't know. So there, there you have it. Our best guesstimate as to whether that's going to have an impact. All right, here's a couple of interesting perspectives on COVID-19. Inflatable Christmas costume suspected in deadly COVID outbreak in San Jose emergency room. There's a guy who put on an inflatable Santa suit at Kaiser Permanente San Jose Medical Center. And instead of spreading mirth and good cheer, he may have inadvertently spread coronavirus, because in order to inflate it, there's a mechanical battery-operated fan that sucks air into the suit. Well, the air that got sucked into the suit may have sucked in some viral particles. And then he went around the hospital happily spreading cheer. So it turns out that, quote, the inflatable costume might not have been perfectly sealed, allowing it to push air and droplets in various directions. In such a circumstance, the person wearing the costume would not have to have been infected with the coronavirus to pose a problem. So it may be, he wasn't the source of it. His suit was the super spreader. Okay. In terms of innovative treatments for COVID-19, Thailand has cleared the use of herbal medicine for COVID-19 treatment. Now, again, I'm not going to say that this is like the panacea for COVID-19. But it turns out that Andrographis paniculata is pretty effective against the virus. It's going to be available as an herbal treatment on a voluntary basis, but only for those with minor symptoms and within 72 hours of confirming the infection. So it's not for, people who are on their last legs. It's like a last-ditch effort to save them. It's going to be officially approved by the Thai Food and Drug Administration. And finally, this side out of Connecticut, Greenwich Hospital is using hyperbaric oxygen therapy to treat COVID. That's innovative, because people who have severe COVID can't get enough oxygen in their bloodstream. So perfect application of hyperbaric oxygen treatment. They say this treatment may help some critically ill COVID-19 patients avoid intubation and mechanical ventilators, which is really a risk factor for going downhill with COVID-19. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 if you want to reach us on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Biomega Fish Oil from Biotics Research. For over 40 years, Biotics Research has been providing the highest quality supplements, surpassing industry standards. Biomega Fish Oil contains therapeutic doses of vital omega-3s in the triglyceride form, which is highly bioavailable. Biotics Research ensures maximum purity and freshness by managing their fish oils from catch to capsule. For more information, go to drhoffman.com/bioticsresearch. That's drhoffman.com/bioticsresearch for Biomega Fish Oil. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. 877-726-8255. Getting a lot of questions about ivermectin for COVID-19. Ivermectin is an anti-parasitical medication used a lot in the third world, used a lot in Africa to treat a condition you don't see a lot of in the U.S., river blindness. It's a tropical disease. And ivermectin apparently is the bomb for that. It's used in a lot of places like Egypt and Bolivia to treat roundworm infections. And now it's front and center as a proposed innovative treatment for COVID-19. So let me just say that, you know, there are two schools of thought on COVID-19. One is we got to get vaccines, high-tech vaccines, and very, very expensive medications that come to us from the pharmaceutical industry to treat it. And there's some basis for that, because that, in effect, not so much the vaccines, but the medications, proved to be very successful against HIV. And then there's another school of thought, which is kind of a little more innovative, or shall we say, alternative, which looks to natural therapies and looks to repurposed drugs like hydroxychloroquine, a cheap, readily available drug, and things like ivermectin. And also comes colored with an ideology that believes that the pharmaceutical industry is basically there to cash in on our misery, and that we have simpler, readily available solutions, and why aren't we using them? And that's a little bit the ivermectin crowd. So I did a little bit of a deep dive on ivermectin, and here's what I discovered, is that there are some randomized controlled trials, just a few of them, small randomized controlled trials, and three observational studies. Observational studies mean they're not as well controlled. Done in Egypt, one was done in Argentina, one in Bangladesh, and then some anecdotal evidence from Peru, Brazil, and Paraguay, where ivermectin is readily available. It's used, you know, against parasites, and there it showed effectiveness against COVID-19. So they found that there were good results, even in hospitalized patients. The lone study done in the U.S. was a study published on 280 hospitalized patients in Florida, in which 173 patients who got ivermectin were compared with 107 who didn't get the therapy. And interestingly, most also received hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, along with that. And what they found is that there was some benefit. There definitely was some benefit. Was it the bomb against COVID-19? Was it a standalone therapy? Was it this ignored, cheap, available fix for COVID-19? No, it wasn't. But could it be part and parcel of a program to treat COVID-19 involving a variety of therapies? There's a guy who's a proponent of this, Dr. Paul Marek. He's well known for administering high-dose intravenous vitamin C to patients at East Virginia Medical School in Norfolk, Virginia. And his protocol involves hydrocortisone, ascorbic acid, thiamine, that's vitamin B1. And it's a controversial protocol, but it's for very sick patients with severe lung disease in the ICU, and his studies suggest that this can save patients' lives. Other studies have been less encouraging about the high-dose intravenous vitamin C protocol for patients with severe lung problems. But his program also includes not just ivermectin, but vitamin C and D, quercetin, zinc, and melatonin, along with aspirin. Throw in some hydrocortisone. It's a real cocktail of therapies. And Merrick is a little upset that this has been politicized, because he says that some groups that are sort of, you know, anti-masker groups and anti-vaccine groups have latched on to ivermectin as kind of their poster child of a simple, quick, easy fix for COVID-19. He doesn't believe that that's justified, because he's a conventional doctor and he's just trying to do good, you know, using whatever tools he has at his disposal to help his patients. So, it remains to be seen whether ivermectin could play a role. You know, nice thing about ivermectin, there's plenty of ivermectin in some of these third world countries, which may not get the vaccine as readily as people in countries in North America and Europe and so on. So why not employ it? But let's do some studies to see if the buzz behind ivermectin is for real. 877-726-8255. If you're looking to give your immune system a boost these days, well, who isn't? Here's a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals. It's liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of health benefits. It's got antimicrobial effects, well documented. And it supports the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also has a significant positive effect on the immune system. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources the product from the Mediterranean, produces it in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M. Myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. Myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Check it out. All right, 877-726-8255 is our number. And that number, even if you call when we're off the air, will give you an opportunity to record a question. Let's hear one of those.
This is John Elmo. I'm a healthologist. I got a question. I got people coming into my office having breathing problems because they're wearing these paper and cloth masks, which prevents them from getting fresh air in many cases. They don't get exhalants out of their lungs, including carbon dioxide. So what they're breathing is carbon dioxide. I was told by experts that the so-called coronavirus is activated by moisture and heat inside the oral cavity. People I know are getting halitosis because the bacteria and so forth are breathing on their teeth and their gums and on their tongue as well, and they're getting laryngitis and tonsillitis and so forth. I wonder if you could comment about the so-called paper and cloth masks which people are supposedly being forced to wear throughout a number of states in the United States and so forth. And I think they're really making people sick. And I think it's being done by people who have good intentions, but we need fresh oxygen to oxygenate the cardiovascular system, as you know, and the blood supply and all the cells and organs and muscles in our body. So I'd just like to have your opinion about wearing these paper and cloth masks. I was told the so-called COVID virus is so small it can go right through the mask and so forth into the oral cavity, into the body. And when you don't get enough oxygen in the brain, it's called brain suffocation, apoxia, as you know. So thank you very much for your wonderful program, Intelligent Medicine, Dr. Hoffman.
Okay. Well, you know, I actually pre-screened this call before because I wanted to have a chance to comment on this is like a full recitation of a lot of the objections to wearing masks. And, you know, what this guy is saying is that masks trap bacteria, that they cause you to retain carbon dioxide, that you don't get enough oxygen when you wear the masks. And, you know, and I've looked at some of these studies. And there actually are some studies that suggest that tight-fitting masks may impair performance of doctors who are operating because they wear surgical masks or who are doing procedures in an emergency setting. And these days, you know, they have to wear like spacesuits practically, you know, when they're exposed to COVID-19. So clearly there's going to be some claustrophobia. You know, some people experience that when they wear masks. The studies don't really suggest that there's a high degree of carbon dioxide retention. You know, that would be bad for the brain, or lack of exposure to oxygen, because fortunately or unfortunately, masks are not perfect. They don't really occlude the nose and mouth. They just provide a barrier and you kind of breathe around them. And so, there are some downsides, but the downsides may be exceeded by the benefits. Now, you say, well, just, and I kind of know where you're coming from, because you're saying the so-called coronavirus or the so-called COVID virus, you're a little bit into the denialism that pervades some people who take kind of an alternative perspective on this disease. It is a real virus. It is really killing people. It is responsible for death. And yes, it's very tiny. And yes, masks are not perfect, but masks do offer a little bit of a barrier, speed bumps, so to speak, against either people expelling the virus and infecting other people, or getting the virus. But, you know, you notice that a lot of prominent people are getting COVID-19. And these are pretty responsible citizens. You know, the head of the police department here and police chief in New York just got the virus. He tested positive. Well, you know, pretty sensible guy. Probably wasn't, you know, one of these mask deniers. And yet he got it. You know, he probably was wearing a mask most of the time. But he was around a lot of people, and masks are not perfect. And so if you, unless you're a hermit, you do have some risk of exposure to COVID-19, which is highly transmissible. So net, I think it's a pretty good idea to wear masks. I think it's absurd to wear a mask when you're, you know, outside, you know, running around. You know, when I exercise, I pull my mask down, you know, when I'm not around other people. When the wind is blowing, I think it's perfectly fine to dine outside as long as you're maintaining social distancing. I think indoor environments tend to accumulate the virus, and therefore it's appropriate to wear a mask. I always wear a mask when I'm inside, but, you know, these days you can't go anywhere in New York City without a mask on. You know, there's some downsides, and, you know, that's a good argument, you know, about the bacteria to replace your mask occasionally. You know, dirty masks can cause you to develop facial infections, skin infections, and perhaps even, you know, rebreathe some bacteria that can go deep in your lungs and give you an ordinary bacterial infection, or maybe contribute even to periodontal disease. But, you know, net-net, it's a risk-benefit equation. And I think the benefits of wearing a mask outweigh the downsides that you pointed out. So there you have it. 877-726-8255 is a number for Intelligent Medicine. As an Intelligent Medicine listener, you know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. But vetting your sources and tracking down the exact products you need can be a hassle. That's why I'm inviting you to browse my online supplement dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. We stock only the highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients and take myself. My specially curated professional-grade supplements are fulfilled via the FullScript network. FullScript is the safest and most convenient way to purchase my medical-grade supplements. Buying through FullScript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant, and offers world-class support. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com to sign up for your free FullScript account. That's drhoffmanstore.com, drhoffmanstore.com.
Stop breathing right now. No, really, hold your breath. This is how it feels when you're stuffed up due to colds, flu, pollen, dander, postnasal drip, or any other reason. That's when you need clear saline nasal spray, the only spray with the power of xylitol. That simple saline solution you're using is only doing half the job. It's just rinsing. In multiple research studies, xylitol has been shown to reduce bacterial adhesion and help keep your nose moist and clean much longer than saline alone, making Clear more effective at washing away that nasty gunk in your nose. Clear is so powerful, it's been granted over 11 patents. So step up from that wimpy saline spray to something that actually works faster and better at getting you the relief you need to start breathing now. And if your doctor isn't talking to you about Clear for your congestion, maybe you need to get a new doctor. You don't just rinse your hands. Why would you just rinse your nose? Clear saline nasal spray with xylitol.
Available at Vitamin Shoppe, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, as well as Amazon.com. For a complete list of retailers, visit clear.com. That's XLEAR.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. 877-726-8255 is our number. Should you care to call? Maybe you got a question about vaccine safety or effectiveness or, you know, anything in the realm of intelligent medicine. 877-726-8255 this hour and next. And, There's an article here about the CEO of Whole Foods, John Mackey. I don't know whether he plays more than a ceremonial role now that he's sold it to Amazon, but he's the guy who developed the Whole Foods concept and was CEO for a long time. Headline, Whole Foods CEO takes heat for saying the best healthcare solution is to change the way people eat. And I found it kind of interesting that this was a controversial proposition. Whole Foods CEO John Mackey has come under fire for his comments regarding what he believes is the, quote, best solution for the health of Americans. In a recent interview, this is from People magazine, in a recent interview with Freakonomics Radio on NPR, the 67-year-old businessman told host Stephen Dubner that the key to keeping Americans in good health is to live healthier lifestyles, including eating better. He said, quote, I mean, honestly, we talk about healthcare. The best solution is not to need healthcare. The best solution is to change the way people eat, the way they live, the lifestyle and diet. He added, there's no reason why people shouldn't be healthy and have a longer health span. A bunch of drugs is not going to solve the problem. So during the interview, he reiterated the fact, and I've shared this with you, that 71% of Americans are now considered overweight. 42.5% are obese. He says, clearly we're making bad choices in the way we eat. It's not a sustainable path, and so I'm calling it out. So, you know, what was interesting, you know, and I read the comments on social media, and it attracted a firestorm of blowback. People saying that what Mackey was advocating was an abandonment of the American people and a cop-out in terms of medical care for people who have conditions over which they have no control. And there's no question that health is not entirely a merit system. Bad stuff happens to good people. And so in this article, which is in People magazine, they talk about, yes, cardiovascular disease and hypertension and diabetes. Yes, they're diet related. And they are major causes of death in America. But in this article, they say something interesting. They say the other six causes, cancer, accidents, respiratory diseases, Alzheimer's, influenza, pneumonia, and suicide, have no direct relation to one's food habits. And I would say au contraire, because let's look at them one by one. You know, cancer, definitely diet related, not entirely diet related, because people on superb diets sometimes develop cancer, but your risk of cancer can be mitigated through diet. When it comes to accidents, well, accidents will happen. Okay, I'll concede the point. Respiratory diseases, even respiratory diseases have an inflammatory component, and diet makes a big difference. Alzheimer's, for sure, there's a dietary component. Influenza and pneumonia, well, that's the big debate about COVID-19. Is there nothing we can do from the standpoint of diet to increase our chances that if we get it, we're not going to die from it? And I say, yeah. And suicide, okay, well, suicide is an act of despair, and is there not a food-mood relationship? And that if you're on an incredibly poor diet with loads of junk food, lots of sugar, no essential fatty acids, might you not be more prone to depression, which could lead to self-harm? So when they say that these things have no direct relation to one's food habits, and the fact that Mackey is getting so much blowback, I mean, I get the point is we need a healthcare system that takes care of people regardless of whether they eat well or take care of themselves. But I'm squarely in support of his contention that the best solution is to change the way people eat, as he says, the way they live, the lifestyle, and diet. That's what intelligent medicine is all about. 877-726-8255 is our number. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.